Okay, so this is the pre-Pesach shiur for Pesach Tov Shin Ayin Chet, the shiur on Haggadah Shel Pesach. As a way of introduction to our discussion about Haggadah Shel Pesach, the Torah says that there's a mitzvah of that's repeated in the Torah a few times. There's a mitzvah of Ve'yata Levin Chavayim Ahu Lemor Ba'avur Zeh Asa Hashem Ve'Sati Mimisrayim. So the mitzvah is to give over the story of Yesiyat Mitzrayim to our children. It also says in the beginning of Parshat Bo, Leman Tesaper Bincha Uven Bincha Be'ozeh Bincha Uven Bincha, in order that you tell over to the ears of your children and your grandchildren the treatment that I gave to Paro, et asher et aradim Mitzrayim, to the Egyptians, and all the signs that I put in them, vidatav ki ani Hashem. So you'll know that I am Hashem. So there is, the point of Haggadah is all the things that Hashem did. When you talk about all the things that Hashem did, you naturally talk about that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it for us. When you give it over to your children, you have to make it clear. You have to make it vivid. It has to be exactly clear as to what it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. So you don't just go through stamp stories. You go through mamash clear ideas as to how it happened.
Details.
You have to make it real for them. It says in the Haggadah, the Chol Dor Vador, right, in every generation, a person has to see himself as if he came out of Mitzrayim. Right? What's the Lashon? In every generation, a person has to see as if he came out of Mitzrayim.
So should one enact the scenes?
There are two different Girsaot, the Harodet Atzmo or Lirodet Atzmo. Whether a person should see himself or a person should show himself as if he came out of Mitzrayim. Shenemar v'gata levin chavim ha'ul emor ba'avur zeh asa Hashem li besetim Mitzrayim. You tell your children, that's what Hashem did for me when I came out of Mitzrayim. Shelo ed avotenu bilvad gala chodesh baruch hu, elo avotenu. Not only Hashem saved our fathers, but also us. So the question is that how are you going to portray that? How are you going to express that? The only way you could express that, the only way you could portray that is by make it vivid, make it clear, as if you are really telling them a first-hand story as to what happened. So, maybe we'll be able to bring out some of these points in the Haggadah. That would be something to give over to the children.
And
but
the source that we know that there is Hashem is Yisrael Mitzrayim. What? We don't know any other way?
That was the first physical encounter that the Jews had with HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Borei Olam.
So it's not for mankind, it's for only Jews?
Well, the mankind also found out.
I know, but this point that what the point is for Bnei Yisrael to know that there was Hashem, or for mankind to know that there was
both.
Hashem. So why not? We don't.
When Hashem is talking to us, we don't care about what he wanted to do to them, to everybody else. He's talking to us. He says, "I want you to be able to tell your children, so they will know that I'm Hashem."
Yeah, but you can't say that it's for mankind because he did something for you.
Well, he did it before. He told Paro. Moshe Rabbeinu told Paro, now you'll know that Hashem is God. Right? When he did Yisrael Mitzrayim, when he did Kiryat Yamsuf, when the pasuk says when Jews came to Rachav, when the spies came to Rachav in Yericho, they wanted to come through Yericho, and Rachav told them that everybody over here heard what Hashem has done for you guys. So, So it was spreading throughout the world, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu had it specifically planned, had it planned for us.
What he means is it's not one of those mitzvah of Parshumei Nisa.
Right, no, it's not up to us to... Parshumei Nisa, by the way, is for the Jews, not for the Goyim. Every Parshumei Nisa, you know...
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying, listen, if mankind has to know that there is God. Now, if this is proof that there is God, then you have to know this. For everybody, nothing has to...
Hashem didn't want to prove anything. Okay, whatever Hashem proves, there's always room to disprove it because He doesn't want to take away Bechira.
No, but He's saying...
HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to introduce Himself to the Jews, that's all. That's one of the things. One of the points of all the things that Hashem did in Mitzrayim was in order to introduce Himself to Bnei Israel. When Klal Yisrael come at Har Sinai, and Hashem tells them, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hoseticha Me'eret Mitzrayim, I'm the God who took you out of Mitzrayim, automatically, Jews know that the God that took him out of Mitzrayim is the Borei Olam. So Hashem didn't come and tell him, I am God Borei Olam. I'm the God who took you out of Mitzrayim. Whoa, if you took us out of Mitzrayim, so obviously you're the Borei Olam. So we had the first-hand encounter with Borei Olam.
So we make our own assumptions. It's not the fact. Hashem is not saying, oh, you know me through this. It's not that. Hashem is saying, listen, I take care of you guys. Now you guys will decide what's what.
I don't know what you're saying. I'm sorry.
There's a difference. When the king comes to a village and he announces, I am the king, or that he does a favor for the guy in a village and says, by the way, I'm the king. There's a difference. Meaning, Hashem did not pronounce his presence when he was making Mitzrayim upside down. He was just doing it for us, and now we realize, oh, Hashem is our king. Like he's the master.
No, I was careful to say this. There were a few points that Hashem accomplished or wanted to accomplish through taking us out of Mitzrayim.
This was what exactly?
Why did He have to bring all this makot?
He wanted to show the favor for us? What do you mean?
What favor?
Basically, I let Mitzrayim do whatever they want for many years, now I'm going to take care of them, show that there is a God.
Why do we have to see it? Why did the Jews have to witness? Why couldn't He take out the Jews out of Mitzrayim, then He would destroy the Mitzrayim, do whatever He wants with them. Why did we have to sit there? Why did we Jews have to stay in Mitzrayim an extra year waiting for Hashem to punish all these Egyptians?
If the Rambam means of your kid, you bring the guy in front of your kid, you smack up that guy, so your kid knows that you love your kid.
Okay, so good. So one point is to show that Hashem loves us. Okay? That's definitely one point. And that is one of the messages that the father has to express night of Pesach to the kids. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu did this for us because He loves us. He cares about us. Right? There is a midrash that some Haggadahs bring when the Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu came by Himself to take us out of Mitzrayim. Right? And right, lo aride malach, lo aride saraf. So the midrash says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to come to Mitzrayim to do makat bechorot, the malachim said, "Why are you doing it? Derech of a melech is that he sits in the palace and his soldiers go and fight. Here you want to go yourself?" So Hashem said, yes, the reason is because Mashal Lema'ad of Ardomeh, to a king whose children are taken. And when he wants to go to war to save his kids, he goes by himself. So therefore, I want to go do it because I want to, these are my kids. It shows how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loved Kedar Yisrael, that he sort of, Kiviyachol, as if we can say, had to get personally involved. He wanted to get personally involved. So that's definitely a message we need to give to our kids. A message of Ahava. But before we get to the message of Ahava, there is a message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Borei Olam. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu pick the 10 Makot that He picked, the specific 10 Makot that He picked? Because each Makah, besides the Midah Keneged Midah, that Midrash says that each one was a Midah Keneged Midah, but each Makah showed another aspect about HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Okay.
The first three makot, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought 10 makot. Of the 10 makot, Hashem made a condition with Paro. He said, Beni Bechori Israel. Israel is my firstborn. You send them out, fine. You don't send them out, I'm going to kill your firstborn. That is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said in a very early on, before the makot. So Makat Bechorot was, you keep the Jews, Makat Bechorot will get the Jews out. Except that when Moshe said that to Paro, Paro said three things. Paro said, A, Mi Hashem, who is Hashem, right? Asheresh ma becholo, what's the Lashon? He said to Moshe,
When
you ask a question, you have to allow me to finish answering it before you ask another question. Otherwise, the people here get frustrated. You can't do that. Who is Hashem that I should listen to him? Leshalachet Israel, to send out the Jews. That's one problem. Second, Lo yodat yad Hashem, I don't know Hashem. And also the Jews I'm not going to send out. So the Malbim says that Paro had three tainas. Right? Midrash says that Paro said, go bring the book of gods. I want the dictionary of gods, right? I want to search to see who is this Yud-Kevavke that you're talking about. He went through the books of gods. I don't see any Yud-Kevavke here.
Who wrote the book?
Whoever. So he said, Mi Hashem? Who is Hashem? I don't see his name. Who is Hashem? Why should I even believe that there is such a God? A. B. Lo yadati et Hashem. Even if there is such a God, I don't know this God. Even if, let's say, he exists. I don't know him. He might be somewhere in the heavens. You know, he has some power up there. I've never seen anything that he did in the world. Who says he exists over here, down here? I've never experienced him. Three. The Ed Bnei Israel lo ashaliach, and even if there is a God, and that God has power in the world, okay, I never came across him, but maybe let's say he exists in the world, and he has some power in the world. The Gavin Ed Bnei Israel lo ashaliach, who says I have to listen to him? Who says he's powerful enough that I can't challenge him? I'm not going to send him out. So Hashem said, you have these three things. For these three problems, these three questions that you have, I'm gonna give you answers. So the first three makot, which was brought, was to prove to Paro that Ani Hashem, that there is such a being called Bore, creator. Okay? Of all the gods that the Egyptians had, nobody claimed that any of those gods are Bore. Bore means someone who is a creator of Yesh Me'ayin, who is a creator of the world from nothing to something. Now, when you create the world from nothing to something, means you could change it around any time and any way the way you want it. That is point number one.
No, but if that was the point, how come... The first three makot, the Egyptians were also...
I'll go through the makot, you see. That was the first one. That they should know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists.
He's a Bore.
So, in terms of him being a Bore, the Pasuk says, when Moshe came to make the first three makot, he said to him, right before Makat Dam. Ko Amar Hashem. So Hashem says, Bezot Teda, with this you will know Ki Ani Hashem. You said, Mi Hashem. Right? Mi Hashem Asher Eshma Becholo. Ani Hashem. That's the answer to the first part. The first three Makot. To the next three Makot, when before Arov came, before the big animals came,
first three makot, he said.
No, he just said this.
The first makot.
On the first makot. three makos later, I'm going to give you another pattern in the makotu. Three makos later, right, when it comes to Arov, to the fourth makah, it says, I'm going to bring all these wild animals, and they're going to come all over Egypt. But I will separate in that day the land of Goshen, that Jews are there. So you will know. The second point was, I don't know God. He might exist, but he might be somewhere else. I don't know him here. I'm here, right here, in the middle of the land. You're going to see me exactly and clearly throughout the land. In this rhyme. That's the second. The third set of Makot, which was Makot number 7, 8, and 9, is the Makat Barad. By Makat Barad, it says, "Ki bepam azot ani sholeach et kol magifutei lebecha, ba'avur teda." So you will know, "Ki en kamoni bechol haaretz," that there is no one like me in the whole world.
You can't take the even if you right? try.
Meaning that you can't challenge me. You said, he's a god. Maybe I could challenge him. You can't. En kamoni. There's no one like me. These are the nine makot. Now, the first three makot are the makot of creation. Right? The first one was dam. Water turned to blood. When water turns to blood means it wasn't just a magic like the magicians did for Paro. In reality, it turned to blood. It spoiled like blood, which means the essence of water changed to blood. So the only one who could change the essence of something to something else, in reality, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Who made that thing?
The one who made it. So that's the sign is a Bore. When all of a sudden so many Sephardim come out of Yeor, right? Okay, so Yeor has 5, 10, 15 thousand Sephardim. So much that would take over the whole land, how did they all fit in that water? Obviously, they are being created. Right, that's Yishtetzu Hamayim Sheres Nefesh Chaya. Just like in the creation, the water produced Nefesh Chaya. Here, the water is producing Nefesh Chaya. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the creator. And the third one is the Kinim. Same thing. Pasuk says Totzeh Haaretz Nefesh Chaya Lemina. Right, in the creation, that the land should bring forth live animals. The dust of the earth turned to live animals. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, replayed the creation in the first three makos.
The blood is the only one that's different, though.
The blood is the water that turned blood.
Yeah, no, the other two fits into Sheres Haaretz, so either from the land or...
The two things are the two types of live being.
Yes.
The first one is an inanimate object. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created an inanimate object.
I know it would be much nicer or some different. It would be the same thing. Some creation.
There's no other life creation. We should make Adam.
What is it
say? The one is the water produced. The other one is that the land produced. The third one is how they everything is Hashem produced them. Hashem made Shamayim Va'aretz. He made them. So he could change them.
Barad was in creation?
No. You're going to see soon.
What was it?
Barad, right. It wasn't. You're going to see soon. Barad. These are the first three. That's not creation.
That was the point. So how come the Egyptians were allowed, they were able to do it also?
Good. You had that question. Hold it. I'm going to come to it. They couldn't. It was the magic. I'm going to tell you the difference between magic and what was done.
But no one could tell the difference.
Yeah, people could tell the difference. It was only Paro who was able. Yeah, exactly. Paro wanted to have an excuse. It was an excuse. People understood. You know, if they could make water to blood, why couldn't they turn blood, make it back to water?
Exactly.
Right? You know, they had to go dig water from around the Yor. They had to go buy water from the Jews. Why did they have to do that? Just turn all the blood back to the water.
Dig water out of the
Yor? Well, yeah, that's the pasuk. Okay, so these are the first three. The next three was to show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can separate. Because Ani Hashem bechelav haaretz means I have hashkacha in the world. I'm not only a bore, I'm a mashgiach. Mashgiach means I could differentiate between this guy and this guy. I can differentiate between this and that. That means I have control. Not that I just create and then let it go. It's out of my control. I have full control over my creation. But right, Arov is the first one. The animals come. The animals are not created. Animals came from wherever they come. Right? It didn't say they were created to come. They came. So when they came, they would only go into the land of Mitzrayim. They would not step foot in the land of Goshen. That's what it says. Veifleti bayim ahu. I would separate that day between Mitzrayim and the land of Goshen. There would be no wild animals stepping in the land of Goshen. So that, you know, one might say, what's the big deal? Oh, so the animals didn't go there.
That's the point.
The problem is that you need to know the pasuk before. The pasuk before says, "Umale'u batei Mitzrayim et ha'arov." The land of Mitzrayim will be, and the houses of the Mitzrayim will become filled with these wild animals. The gam ha'adama asher hem aleha, and also the land that the Egyptians are living on it. That means the land will become full of all kinds of animals. Full. It's not that there is one lion roaming here, another tiger roaming there. There are all kinds of wild animals all over. It's not just a safari either. In a safari, there is a lot of open lands. Right? Here, they're filled. It's just, they're everywhere. And everywhere, so naturally, they get bumped into each other and step foot on the other side. They wouldn't do that. There was a clear division between land of Goshen and land of Mitzrayim.
And these animals came from somewhere?
Yeah, they came.
So it wasn't created?
If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create them, he might have created them too. But the miracle was not that they were created. The miracle is they will come. It says, what's the Lashon? It says, Vayavo Arov, Kaved Betaparo. They came. A lot of heavy mixture of animals came to the house of Paro. That's the first one.
If the Jews had houses in Egypt, those houses was not attacked.
Oh, that, the Pasuk doesn't say that. The Pasuk says land of Goshen.
The Jews didn't live among the Egyptians?
They might have. That's his question. But I'm not sure if they, doesn't say that they wouldn't come into their houses.
So Jews lived amongst them?
They were
spread out.
Over 50 of them died.
They spread out.
I'm not thinking of mixing in. They were slaves. They were slaves. You have to live here. You're working for me here.
No, that we don't see. That we don't see. Whoever moved out of Goshen was they moved on their own terms.
Why did they? Just like
they spread out. People moved out of the Jewish quarters. They wanted to live among, in the modern life. They spread out throughout the land.
Why did then Paro just make the argument? Listen, let's say there is God.
Okay. That's a different question. I'm in the middle of my I'm still building up. So the first one is Arov.
I thought they were slaves. How did they go buy the house and
go? They had the houses.
Where did they get money?
Well, they had money to begin with. Their money was not taken away. They were just brought as workers. So whatever money they had already had from whenever they had it, they had it. So Dever, the second thing was Dever. Dever was the same thing. Hashem said that when Dever is going to come, Dever means that all the animals of the Egyptians would die in a plague. So it says Vehifla Hashem, again the same Lashon. Vehifla Hashem ben Miknei Israel ben Miknei Mitzrayim. Hashem separated between the Miknei Israel and Miknei Mitzrayim. Ve'lo yamut mikol livnei Israel davar. None of the Jewish animals died. And Paro sent out to check this out, and he takes so that all the animals that died were all Egyptian animals. None of the Jewish animals died. Chazal say that the Jewish animal was grazing next to the Egyptian animal. This one would die and this one would stay alive. So you see, they had animals too.
Throughout all the Malkas, they died gradually?
They didn't? I mean, what do you mean?
Through Dam, through thirst, they died. It could be.
The point was not to kill them, but I'm sure there are those who died.
As I said, this is the also, when the animal died, the owner of the would fall on the owner and kill the animal also. The animal killed the owner.
Yeah, that's the byproduct of it. You know, there were only a couple. There were only a couple punishments that really meant to kill people, or the people were to die.
Wild animals.
But it wasn't.
So Deborah wasn't meant to kill.
Deborah was only animals.
Yeah, when the animals came, Maka before that, when all the animals came inside, it wasn't meant to kill them.
Yes, yeah, so that would. Well, if they would protect themselves, they wouldn't get killed. Right? Obviously, the other people got killed.
Being thrown inside houses.
If they somehow, you know, boarded themselves up, you know,
would it help? Would
not everybody died. Obviously, these animals are all hungry. So if they came in, they would have eaten everybody up. So why didn't they rip everybody up? So the people protected themselves. Obviously, there was some byproduct. And the third one is Shechin. Right? Shechin was also, the Pasuk says, that Shechin was in all the Misrim. All the human beings and all the animals would have Shechin on them. So much so, the Egyptian magicians were not able to stand in front of Moshe Rabbeinu out of the problem of Shechin.
There was a specific sickness?
Yeah.
Disease? What kind of disease?
I don't know. Deva is a plague.
Plague is what? Plague, anything that kills.
I don't know. Yeah.
Deva
specifically is a kind of a
disease
that the animal would die.
But wasn't it just dropped dead? It was a disease and then they
fully
died?
I don't know how it would take.
Imagine like swine flu.
Yeah, I don't know how they would take. They would die. I don't know how long
like
it would take. Was it 5 minutes? Or 10 minutes? I don't know. It wasn't Machab Bechorot that in a second they all died. It wasn't like that. They died. So, did they die all in one day? Did they die in an hour, 2 hours? I don't know.
Dever is the name of disease, or Dever is anything that kills it in.
Dever is called plague. Plague is a certain virus that goes around and kills people. Plague itself is not. Plague is not just a general term. There is a sickness called plague. In Farsi, they call it Baba.
Yeah, so that's
Ta'un. Ha'un, your Baba is the. I know, that's for that, right? But this Dever was a. The Pasuk says that the Dever is only going to come to the animals.
That's what I was wondering. When it's a Dever, is it the specific.
It says, Yad Hashem Oyo b'michnechasher basade. Hashem's hand will be in your animals that are in the field, and the horses, donkeys, camels, oxes and sheep. Dever covered meot, a big plague. But it would only be on the animals.
All animals.
Yeah, they list out all different animals. These are the second three. The third three was the wondrous stuff. Things that are mind-boggling. Things that are strange. Ki'en kamoni b'cher v'aras means that nobody else can do such a thing. Things that are beyond a person's understanding. So therefore, there was Barad, and the Barad is a type of Barad that they've never seen such a thing. Right? What's the Lashon? It says, I'm going to bring a type of Barad. There has never been such a thing from the beginning of the time of Mitzrayim till now.
Just Mitzrayim? The Lashon usually says Le'olam.
No, it's ad auto. Till now. Till now means to talking to Paro. So there hasn't been such a thing. So, and that's why Barad had this phenomenon that the fire would come out of it, because how could that be? This is just strange. How could you put these two together? After Barad came Arbe. Arbe was also like that. It was Arbe Kaved Meod, that there has never been such an abundance of Arbe, and there will never be. The Pasuk says,
Isn't Sephardia more weird than Arabic?
No,
where is Sephardia? You have grasshoppers come in the city once
in a while. No, not like this. Not like this.
You have frogs in the city?
Right. It says, Kaved Me'od, Lefanav Lo Ayakin Arbe Kamaud. There has never been such a phenomenon of Arbe before. Ve'acharav Lo Ayakin. And it would never be like this. Okay? So much Arbe that would come, and they ate everything out. Really. They left nothing. And they all flew away.
Even the jars. The
right. That's right. Even the pickled arbe, they flew out. That's what it says. Afterwards, the lawyer, Lonish arbe, Chad, Bechol, Yehul, Mizraim.
They pickled on to eat them. And those also left.
That's what it says.
But I thought the bigger Kiddush was that there were all different kind of arbe.
That too. That too. That's the Gemara Tanit.
But, I don't know, in my eyes, like, okay, imagine a place comes filled with bees or grasshoppers. That phenomenon exists, but
not this size. The size is mind-boggling.
Correct, but having frogs in a city.
You haven't seen that.
Having frogs in a city is mind-boggling.
In the city, there's a river. The frogs just come out of the river.
That much?
Okay, so he created them. The Chiddush was the creation of them. Here, there's nothing to create. The grasshoppers come, as you said. But like this is just the incommunicable virus. You can't stop me. If I want to bring something, I'm stronger than you are. And the third one is Choshech. Same thing. Choshech exists. But such a Choshech, which means it's an accentuation on a pre-existing situation. You have Barad, such a Barad. You have Arbe, such an Arbe. You have Choshech, such a Choshech. So long. That a person can't even move, it's so, you know, he can't get up from your place.
What does that mean?
Means they couldn't get up.
What does that mean?
Okay, so some Mefarshim say that it was thick, like a pea soup. The beautiful pshat that I've seen many years back is one of the Mefarshim that says that he has a couple of nice kashas on it. This is a red lach for you, Haggadah. A couple of nice kashas. He says, first of all, it says nobody got up. How could it be that people didn't get up? They had to go to the bathroom. They had to do something. How did they eat? How did they live for 6 days? Okay, 3 days they couldn't move. But it says in those same 3 days that they couldn't move, Paro sent after Moshe Rabbeinu. How did they send them? How did they get up and go to Moshe Rabbeinu? 3 days. Huh? In the last 3 days. That's yes. Right, so the first 3 days was
only darkness.
It got thicker and thicker.
Right. Where are we?
Her father. Yes.
Lo ra'u ish et achiv ve lo ra'u ish mitachtav. So the first 3 days they didn't see each other. Right? The second 3 days they couldn't even get up. Ba'i choshech afela, choshech shel ofel. The second 3 days was even worse. If he's sitting, couldn't stand. So how did they go to Moshe Rabbeinu? Next passage says that ויקרא פרעה אל משה ויאמר לכו עבדו את השם. How did Paro call Moshe? If nobody could move. Double. Kaful.
After he's finished, no?
If he's finished, then there's one there to call him, it's over. Right? So he says like this. He says that the choshech was not just the darkness. It was a certain darkness that had in it visions, nightmare visions, which means in the dark, it's like a haunted house. You go through this dark and there are things that are jumping at you. So it was so scary that people could not move. What does that mean? So dark that you can't move. It's the darkness was so scary, overwhelming, that they couldn't move. So he says, but there were some stronger ones, some braver ones, right? So those brave ones, after a day or two, they got used to it. So they were able to go bring water for people, food for people. Majority couldn't move. And those few brave ones are the ones that Paro sent to Moshe Rabbeinu.
They were stronger than Paro at the time. Couldn't they just kill Paro?
Yeah.
I don't think we rule at that point.
So these are the last three. Right, so these are the last three. So,
And the
Makkah the Chorot was to settle the account of Bnei Bechor Israel. So these three things were the three lessons that Hashem wanted to give to Paro. Not for only for Paro, just because Paro said it. But Paro was the symbol of the world, of the civilized world. If Paro would get it, hopefully the rest of the world would get it too.
So it's Bore, Madhig, and the categories.
Yeah, it's the Bore, the Madhig, and there's nobody like him. En Kelokenu, En Kadurenu, En Kemarkenu, En Kemoshienu.
Who was the one that said this?
Malbim. Malbim.
The Choshev Shah?
This whole Malik of the three sets of three.
What was the second?
It's Mukhach in the Pesukim. It's so beautifully fit.
What does it mean, the last one of Enka Monik Ba'aretz? What does that mean? If you have Manhig, isn't that part of Enka Monik?
Maybe there are other Manhigim. There are two kings. There are two kings. He's the Manhig of his country. He's the Manhig of his country. And there's a war between them. I'm a Manhig of my Egypt too. Enka Monik Ba'aretz. There's nobody like me.
What would you say
about the nightmare?
Huh? Oh, the nightmare. No. The nightmare is one of the Mefarshim. I have a Chumash. The Chumash has a perush called Memhe Perushim. In the bottom of it brings a liquid of different Mefarshim. So he brings that perush from somebody. I don't remember who.
The Chumash is not a good complete Russian. It should say, come only Bechol Olam.
I don't know what's going on up there. I have no power up there. All I care about, Paro, is down here. He said, down here. Down here, there's nobody like me. Don't worry about it.
I know, but I'm saying for Hashem to proclaim, you should have just completed.
He's not proclaiming it. He's proving it. To prove it, you could prove where I am. If Hashem wants to say, even in Mars, there's nobody like me. So Paro is not in Mars to see it. So I could only prove it to you. You're down here. I should have proved it to you over here. So these are the three sets of the Makot. So part of it is to show to the world and to the Jews that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Borei Manhig. Second part of it is to show to Bnei Israel how much he loves them. That's why the Midrash says every Makkah that was brought was Midah Keneged Midah. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu choose water to turn to blood? Why didn't he choose, I don't know, something to change to something else? I mean, there's also other ideas about it. Water is what gives life. And blood is life. Blood is damo benafsho, is nefesh. So you see how I can take something that is source of life, turn it to something that is life, and that itself causes death. Is I created life and I created death. I created, you know, all these things. But anyway, so the Midrash says the reason that Hashem brought dam was because they used to kill Jewish children, right? Or they used to lash the Jews and their blood would flow. The reason that Hashem brought Sephardiah was because they would make the Jews cry so loud. So Hashem brought Sephardiah that would make so much noise. Why would that be Sephardiah? Why not something else, fish or something else coming out, to make so much noise. Right, that, okay, so alligators, you have to say, it's a different question. Kinim, they say, because they didn't let the Jews take showers. They didn't let them wash themselves. So once they made them suffer, not washing themselves, they were attacked by kinim, because kinim comes from lack of hygiene. So those midah kinim and midah was for the Jews to see how much Hashem loves them. So there was multifaceted, all the makas that Hashem brought upon them.
What happened to Sephardiah? The reason why Sephardiah and the other...
Because they didn't let them, they would make him cry, scream.
Yeah, but other animals also could make louder music.
No, Sephardiah is Golani. Sephardiah keeps making voice.
All day.
You know why Sephardiah called Gur Bagh? Because in the Bagh means garden, Gur Gur mikone. So they gave the name of the animal, they give it based on what it does.
Did Shiraz name that one?
Gur Bagh?
No, but they're always in Bagh.
Well, that's what it is, Gur Bagh.
I understand. They named that animal.
Oh, yeah? I know. That's a good question. I'll ask next time when I go to Iran. Yeah.
We started off saying how we have to make it very vivid for the kids, right? So, is the mitzvah equal for all kids above and under every bar mitzvah, equal?
Can I get arba banim divra Torah? So, each child, you have to explain to him according to that child.
I'm saying, so it's an equal chiyuv, let's say if a person has older kids and younger kids.
To the older kids, you tell them the daher. The younger kids, you talk to them, you know, in a lashon that they understand.
Make it play and skip for them is a good idea.
Huh?
Make it play and skip.
That might do it. That might do it.
That would get busy.
Why do you bring that those who are the minhag to do that? They would put the halachma, the matzah on their shoulder, and they will start walking around. He said, where are you coming, Mitzrayim? Where are you going, Yerushalayim? They acted it out. We act out Dayenu, don't we act out Dayenu? Lashes?
Yeah, we're very machmer about that.
From which part of...
Yeah. What was your question? Yeah.
From which part of Yisrael Mitzrayim is a mitzvah to say to which part of... I'm saying how far...
We're going to say it. That's the Bavadashem. Next year, we'll talk about what I wanted to talk about. This was the Hakdama to the Haggadah.
So you understand the question, which means if I talk about the Jews already made it to Yerushalayim, am I used to that mitzvah?
No, that's Yisrael Mitzrayim. You have to talk about what happened in Egypt.
So what about if somebody talks about the Midbar? Saying, I'm just asking how far...
The Midbar is not a Yisrael Mitzrayim. The Midbar is in the Midbar. But here is about coming out of Mitzrayim, what Akal Shoko did for us in Mitzrayim.
So which means if you do pre-Makod, it's still Yotze?
Pre-Makod, you're Yotze. Because you need to know what troubles the Jews went through. They need to know that. Right? We're going to see through the Pesukim of what it is that you need to tell over.
What was the Lachaim that we said that you're supposed to say on the Saturday night? Or
some of the Segula Fahad? They say there is an Orachaim HaKadosh. No, Rachaim Kodesh says it. The pasuk on the Parashat Bo, it says at the end of Parashat Bo in Kadeshli, there is a pasuk, there is a word in the pasuk that Rachaim Kodesh is bothered with. It says, Leigata Levincha Bayom Ahu Lemur. Let your son know on that day, right? Leigata means let him know. On that day, lemor, to say, ba'avurze asa Hashem li v'satim im Yisrael. So he's bothered, what do you mean lemor? Lemor means to say to somebody else. Tell your kids, let your kids know to say, what do you mean to say? To say what? Let your kids know. What do you mean lemor? So he says, one pshat he says that he's telling you there are those that they have a kid. So they would let their kid know. How about if somebody is not zochet, has not been zochet to have a child? So He says, if they sit down, if he sits down together with his wife, and they go through Haggadah, telling over exactly as if they would say to their child, which means, say it, they'll be zoche, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him a child, that they'll be able to say it to him. That's why it says, lemor, to say. Ve'yagta, you say it, right? If you have a child, you say it to your child. And if you don't have a child, still ve'yagta, lemor, so you will be able to say it to your child. It's a very interesting pshat that he says. It doesn't really fit into the pesukim so beautifully. So they say that it, whatever it is, it must have been said, Beruach HaKodesh, that there is such a segula in this thing, and they say it's a segula. And so what happened was a few years ago, 10 years ago, 8 years ago, somebody wrote this in Hamodia. He said, he wrote in Hamodia, right by Pesach time, before Pesach, by Pesach. He says, I want to let the Olam know that I heard this shot from somebody. And the night, last Pesach, we didn't have a child for a while, we didn't have any children. And last Pesach, somebody told us this. And my wife and I, my husband and I, whatever it was, sat down and went through Haggadah like this. And after finishing Haggadah, we read that piece of Orachayim HaKadosh together. We learned it inside together. Right? That piece. And I made an eder that if we have a child this year, I'll be mefarsem this thing in public. And Baruch Hashem Rezochet to have a child, and here I am, I'm being mefarsem it in public. Right? I'm letting everybody know that's what happened. Next year, there was somebody else who wrote in the same Amudiyah that I wanted to thank that family who put this out. When we heard this, we decided we should do it too. And we did it. And Baruch Hashem, we're zochet to say again that we were also zochet to a child. And here we be mefarsem. Okay, so those were the Jewish words. 2 years it happened. So this was it was a very nice thing.
Why didn't his power say, listen, maybe he is, maybe he's not, maybe he's powerful. Until now he's been sleeping. I haven't seen him for 210 years. So, was it come now? Why didn't he make that time now?
Yeah, he comes now.
Huh?
Yeah, he comes now. That's not a Taina. If he's here, yes. So what does that mean? And therefore he's not here. What is the point of this argument? He doesn't exist?
No, let's say he does.
What is his point of argument?
He wants to say that he doesn't exist. That's
okay. So fine. So he said he doesn't exist.
he wants to go further than just saying he does exist.
He's drawing something that is indisputable.
No, apparently, he's correct. Not that there's a God and he doesn't care.
I know. But
that's why he doesn't make this argument. Because if he does make